Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're the hosts of the Anxiety Chicks podcast, where we dive deep into the reality of anxiety, nutrition, and mental health.
Listen as we explore all things anxiety healing while keeping it real, including our own struggles with mental health.
We'll bring our expertise as healing professionals to the conversation while discussing the tools and strategies you need to heal the anxious mind.
Listen to the Anxiety Chicks on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Chicks podcast. I'm Allison Sepinera.
And I'm Taylor.
And we're excited to be back this week. We were coming up with topics with each other, as we always do. And we ask you guys for topics. And I've gotten a couple DMs and actually been talking about this a lot on my stories on my page. And Taylor was like, why don't you talk a little bit more about your struggle with like body image and the anxiety around self-esteem and everything? And I said, that's such a perfect idea. I mean, I don't think I've really tapped into that on this podcast before that much. I know I've talked about it a little bit, but I don't think I've really dived into that piece. I don't know.
I've noticed just like recently, it seems to be something that is bothering you a lot.
Oh my gosh.
Is it more than normal, or are you just feeling more comfortable talking about it?
I think that like it's not – I have in parts of my life connected this piece of my like intrusive thoughts and stuff with my body with anxiety, but it's always mm-hmm. been, my anxiety's always been so hyper focused on like my health and mm-hmm. like losing people and stuff like that. And now I feel I am sort of more, I'm able to manage my anxiety a little bit better with my health and everything. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I'm healthy now, so we'll see what happens, but, As you know, I've talked on before on here, obviously you guys, if you haven't listened yet, I've gone through two breakups now since the podcast started. So I've had relationships and then not have relationships. You can please go back in the vault and listen to those breakup episodes because I'm totally raw and crying mostly of the episodes. But the reason I bring that up is because I've always had such a focus on my body and men and attraction and feeling uncomfortable with my body and dating and all of this stuff. And so I've had bits and pieces throughout dating where I've struggled mm-hmm. with that. And then also struggle with my weight and everything. And so I think it just go kind of like healing with anxiety, right? Like it's not linear. So it goes up and down. So yes, I have been talking more about it lately, I think just because it's those are the louder voices in my head now lately is like there's – and we'll put like a little trigger warning on the notes too on the show notes because I am going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I feel that I hear and the thoughts that I have about my body and stuff. And I don't want to make anyone – that struggles with disordered eating or any like eating disorders or any body shame or body issues to be triggered by this. So this might not be the episode for you, just saying that first. But
let's start from the beginning with you. Like when was your first thought? Like can you remember your first thought of like
so
in disordered eating and what
that Yeah. So when it come, okay, so this is what I remember. When it came to like my self-esteem, I always connected that to the way my body looked from a very young age. I remember thinking that I would watch certain shows. Like I remember probably the youngest I was maybe like 9 or 10 years old. I watched Saved by the Bell. I don't know if you know that show, Saved by the Bell. But it was sort of like a sitcom back in the 90s. And Tiffany Amber Thiessen was one of the characters on there. She played Kelly Kapowski. And I was obsessed with her. I thought she was so beautiful. Even going back to when I was even younger than that, the Disney movies, right? We had an episode about that. Ariel, I remember she's a cartoon, but being like, oh my God, I want to look like Ariel. With the Saved by the Bell, as I got a little bit older, I remember being obsessed with Kelly Kapowski. And for anyone listening that doesn't know that show or know her, she was an actress, very skinny, brown haired, beautiful, like 90s actress. And I just remember wanting to look like her so bad. I would dress like her. I wanted to, you know, all of the different types of any shows or movies that I watched where boys were attracted to like pretty, quote unquote, skinny women. And now I'm a cis straight female. So I'm going to talk with my experience as far as that goes. So I would, you know, just hyper focus on, okay, so this is what gets attention from boys. It's, you know, wearing certain things. It's like looking this way. Meanwhile, I didn't have like, I look back at pictures and there were outfits like I should not have been wearing, just like thinking that about myself. And I don't know why, not like because my mom let me, I'm just thinking for my body type and stuff. I don't know why I felt like I wanted to wear something like that, I guess to get attention from boys. But that's kind of what I remember the earliest. Mm-hmm.
I wonder why
I've been through a lot of therapy for this, and maybe you guys can relate, and then I'll kind of explain where I am now. So essentially I now know that in working on this there was a lot of messages in my household about the way that a woman should be, or like the way that someone looks. Messages.
What did that sound like as a kid, like hearing?
Just with food and making sure, you know, don't eat that or you don't need that. It's okay.
Really? From an Italian family.
No, love means food in an Italian family.
Yeah.
So like not just you don't need that, like that, and that wasn't just in the family either. Like this was messaging from society and messaging at school and messaging other people that watched me. It wasn't just my mom and dad. If anything, my mom really did actually like feed me with love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where my relationship with food, my disordered relationship with food kind of stemmed from, was that part of it. But when it came to like loving who I was, I got so much of that love at home, for sure, being like, we love you, whatever you look like, no matter what. But there were still times when there would be jokes about like being fat, or like fat jokes about like different people not about me, but like people, kids hear stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're observing. Right. You're like, oh, well, if that person's fat, then what am I?
Yeah.
And then fat equals unloved. Yes. Okay. You're very observant. You were an observant kid.
100%. And I think there's a lot of messaging where fat equaled ugly and gross and disgusting, right? The word fat is – like we're trying to take the power back now. A lot of like the body positive movement, which I love. Like I wish that was around when I was little.
Yeah.
because, and I also got made fun of also from school, like
really?
In school. Oh yeah. Like
for your weight?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, yeah, that wasn't, yeah.
Wow.
Not just
you,
that.
Okay, hang on. Did you develop faster than other women?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
So and it wasn't even like the boobs, you know, the size, like I did have them before a lot of my friends, but because mm-hmm. I was like a little bit heavier. It wasn't because I was like really tiny with big boobs.
But you like, were just like, you were just becoming a woman.
I was just, I
like
had
it, where
baby
it was
fat.
Like all the little boys are like little stick figures.
Yes. And I had baby fat until I was like a freshman in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then, even if I didn't, even if I was like a little on the heavier side or if I was heavier now, you know, it didn't back then. I feel like it is so nice now because there are messages you can see on social media, which is actually a nice part. We talk about the good and the bads of social media, mm-hmm. where I follow a lot of body positivity influencers, and I think it's incredible. Like they actually give me, I love just seeing how much they are loving their bodies, and they should, right? And no matter what size, like as long as you're healthy, you know, like your body should be a desire for yourself, right? Like you should just be so excited to have your body, and the body is so much more than just this like sexual thing, right? Because I think when you think of, you know, the way that you want your body look, it's almost like it's for other people, right? It's not like for yourself. It's what you think other people want the body to look like. I don't know. So, yeah. So I got made fun of and all this stuff. And I just remember like really not thinking I liked. I just not have never really loved my body. I just never really have. I always wanted to be skinnier. I mean, I look back at pictures now. I'm 43. I look back at pictures when I was 30, thinking I was really, really heavy back then. And I was like, oh my gosh, ew, I look so gross. Oh my God. I remember back then, like getting ready to go out, and all my friends were like, you know, so much skinnier than me. But, and I would look at them thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I'm not that skinny. And then I look back now, I'm like, oh my God, I was so skinny. Like what? And I was so unhappy. Yeah. I was very mm-hmm. like depressed and mm-hmm. anxious for like a lot of my 20s and 30s. I've talked about that before in here. And so, you know, it's just this perception of
I relate so much to that. Cause I think that when you think that way, there's no level of skinny that you would have been satisfied with. Like, I think you would have always looked in the mirror and seen this image because it's a mindset you have that you truly just look in the mirror and you see gross.
100.
No matter what you looked like. And that's where like it's body dysmorphia. It's like you look in the mirror and you see this like ogre and you're
100.
Just like, and then you look back at pictures of yourself around that time when you said those nasty things to yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, how was I so mean to that girl? Like she's beautiful. She's fit. She's like, I relate to like one. Yeah. Mine is like that in college. Like it was really bad. Like I look at the pictures and I'm like, I was literally a beanpole and I thought I was fat.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you say like back then, yes, I can identify that. That's so many of the types of loud, really just critical thoughts that were going through my head. But like, that's what I'm still struggling with now. So when we started the episode and saying, you know, this is, you know, been coming up for me a lot now, those voices are still in my head. Like I look in the mirror and I will say, you're so fat. Like my brain will just automatically have a thought that's you're fat. You're disgusting. Like you are so fat and disgusting. Like mm-hmm. what you're horrific. I mean, like, And just it's I can't imagine ever saying that to anybody. Like, yeah, I don't care how, what they look, who they are, whatever. I don't, you know, like, I would never, ever tell someone that they're fat or disgusting. It's just so, and actually in, you know, my sister's household, the kids, my niece and nephew, they're not even allowed to say the word fat, like the F word they say, like, they're not even allowed to say it. It's basically a curse word in their house.
Okay, wait, that's interesting. That's interesting. Did your sister also, does she also? No. Okay. Huh?
No.
So what makes her
the best? She has no anxiety. She is like the best image of herself.
Because I was going to say, y'all grew up in the same house. The funny thing is, like, my brother also has body dysmorphia.
Really?
So it's like interesting. Yeah. So I was curious if like maybe like, because that means you and her grew up in the same environment. You just soaked in maybe a lot more external from school and TV and
Yes. So, and I want to hear, we'll get to your experience too, because I want to hear more about that. But yes, so it's interesting because I think a lot of what shaped part of the messaging that I got was very much about like being like the school and the kids around me. And also I'm just a highly sensitive person. My sister is not really a highly sensitive person.
And you can overanalyze one little cruel little boy saying one thing, you take that to the grave.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to have attention. I just wanted attention from boys from such a young age for some whatever. I nothing happened. Like, I have never had the type of trauma that maybe some people have when they were young and they have those types of, you know, attention seeking behaviors. But I do know that a lot of it was, you know, the messaging that I got from TV and in school and even other adults and saying like how I need to look and be. And if you want to get this type of attention, you need to do this. But my sister, she actually was sort of a late bloomer too. She didn't even really like care about boys until she was like in like high school or college. And then even then she was, you know, she always had like a boyfriend and stuff. I was like the partier who just wanted to go. I mean, I was kind of a lost soul. And I think it just, there really is a huge part of me that still struggles with feeling like I'm enough with my body and I'm enough with myself and what I look like and external things. And I am the least like superficial person. Yeah. I do not, I mean, like, I am not, I don't need any, I mean, I just bought my first car in my entire life and it's like a Hyundai. I don't know. I just don't care about materialistic. I don't care about like, you know, the way people perceive me. But when it comes to my body, I've been struggling so much because I am dating again with the body that I have now that I had a certain size body for a long time, the past like 10 years, that I was healthy, but not really. Like, I would have horrible mental health, different episodes that I've talked about before, whatever. But now in my 40s, things are different. I have different hormones. I'm just heavier than I was before. And
let me pause you on when you said healthy. Do you feel like you were doing a behavior of maybe like seeing, like restricting as much as you could and then following with a binge and then repeating, purging in a sense of like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym for a million hours and then, or walking a ton right after I eat and then repeating the cycle. Is that what you mean by like you were healthy, but not really healthy?
So I've never been diagnosed with an eating disorder.
Yeah,
so
just like disorder.
I do want to say that, right? So I don't want to speak on any kind of like ED or anything like that. But I will say that I was healthy as far as taking care of my mental health. You know, I would go to therapy and taking care of my anxiety related to like other different areas of my life that were very consuming for me. You know, my dad died and, you know, he was sick and my parents and all this stuff. But yeah. So I think that I was trying to take care of my mental health, and my physical health was less of sort of a priority. I always have been active. So I will always work out. I mean, not even just work out, but I'll always move my body. That's just something important to me. Before, like years ago, I used to go to the gym for like 2.5 hours a day because I just wanted to be skinny. That was my goal. I just needed to be skinny, because what did that mean in my mind? If I was skinny, then I would be happier and I would be married maybe. I'd have a boyfriend because this is all the stuff that irrational, you know, these things that were going on in my head. If I was skinny, then this would happen. That's not the case, of course. So I was doing some healthy things, but yes, the unhealthy things were still, they're still there sometimes, where it's more of my relationship with food. I consume myself with what I'm going to order if I go out to a restaurant. Like, should I have that today? Should I not? I feel so guilty after I eat something disgusting, and then I feel ashamed of myself. And I'm like, why did I just eat that? But I was so hungry. I don't really like ever binge in the sense of the defining the word binge.
Okay.
In a clinical term.
Like, I don't never really, like find yourself, oh, I'm going to try to go as long as I can to not eat today. And like eat as little calories as possible. Like, were you ever like a calorie tracker? Like,
yes, for sure.
Okay.
And I still do that. Yes. And I still, but, and the not eating thing, I really been trying to move away from that, because
like this was like so much when you like 30s or whatever, you were saying, like when it was more were like, I was healthy but not healthy.
But no, so I've always just had these, you know, voices in my head that are saying you're gross. Like, I know there's a lot of articles about when it comes to this sort of like low self-esteem, but also the way that you look at your body is like mirror checking. So you go and if you walk past any mirror or any like storefront or anything where you can see your reflection, you always look to see how your body's looking. Mm-hmm. And if you look okay, then you're okay. And I do that a lot. I'm trying not to as much. Again, still working on this with a professional is so vital, of course. So I'm constantly working on this with my therapist and recognizing, you know, what are the patterns in my thoughts that are really telling me these horrible things about myself. And, you know, it's just, I think when it's been with dating recently and my body changing with getting older, that I'm not losing weight as I used to. I don't want to be the way I was, because it was very unhealthy, the way I was treating my body, right? I was working out a bunch. I was counting those calories. I would not eat. Yes, I would not eat. And then, you know, I would, if I did eat, it was, you know, a rice cake or something. You know, it was just, it was very unhealthy. And now I know more about nutrition too. So I'm really know what is good for me to be nutritious. And also, I'm getting older, so I just want to be healthy with living longer. I don't care about, I don't want to care about being skinny. I want to focus on being healthy and living and like helping my heart and eating food that's good for me, right? Healthy for me. But those voices are still in my brain. And like, that is the hardest thing I think lately, is the fact that I just can't get rid of these loud voices sometimes that are like, you're not fitting in these jeans anymore. I had it last Wednesday. I used to fit into these jeans used to be loose on me like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And I literally can't, I have to give them away. Like, I'm not even kidding. They're just, and I had the worst night. I was like, it was triggering.
I don't think this is talked about enough, about how about 40s and 50s, my mom went through the same thing. It's a change. You have a change in your hormones.
Yeah.
And it's in the midsection, because that's where we store a lot of hormones, a lot of estrogen and stuff. And my mom went through this exact same thing of just like hating herself. And she's never really was like that. I mean, she had a few episodes when I was growing up, but it was like something about like women premenopause and menopause. I think we should get a specialist on here who maybe like counsels premenopause and menopause women, because I think a lot of women lose their minds because they feel like they're unworthy now. They have so many bad thoughts about themselves. Going through menopause and premenopause is a lot. I watched my mom really go through it, and it's a lot for some women.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. And we actually have had a couple people talking a little bit about it. But I think maybe to have someone to talk a little bit how it's connected with, like,
yeah,
you know, our body image and stuff would be great. But I think that, you know, yes, this is a lot of the way my body has changed, but also the thoughts that I'm having, they're the same. Even yeah. when I was like yeah. not in menopause or not what at perimenopausal. So, yeah. I mean, it's not just about that. So, yeah. I, you know, it's more about really just practicing again. Like, you know, I talk all about like CBT all the time and really mm-hmm. tapping into like the inner critic of yourself yeah. and being aware of what thoughts are literally driving your behaviors and mm-hmm. and being aware of what you say to yourself and looking in the mirror. It is how you change that is doing mirror work. I don't know if you've ever heard of mirror work. I've been talking a lot about that with my subscribers on my Anxiety Healer page. I did a Instagram live about it last week. I think it was mirror work has probably been one of the most effective treatments for me as far as helping with my body image and my self-esteem and just loving my body. And I mean, there's way more to it, but putting it simply, you stand in front of the mirror and you just talk to your body and you tell your body what you love about your body. And you just talk to yourself and you repeat certain affirmations and you do this every day and you set like a timer. It's not just something you do once or twice. It's like, oh, I love myself. I mean, this is probably, I'll be doing this for my entire life.
Yeah.
Where in the morning,
just like anxiety recovery.
100%. Like I'll talk to myself.
It doesn't just go away. You have to work at it every single day. It's a practice. It's reframing those thoughts. And Allison has a meeting, so we are going to take this to a part two, probably next week. We'll go yes. into a part two and I can kind of share some of my story and Allison can share more about hers. But I know that so many women and men, I think men are actually more in the dark about it, but I think that so many men and women currently go through this. I think we live in a society that it's more accepting, but it's more put in our faces with social media of all these beautiful bodies and Facetune and editing apps and just perfection with filters. And it really, really drains us. And I think a lot more people go through this than we realize. And I think it's really important to talk about. So I'm glad we're here and we're opening the conversation. And I hope someone listening to this feels like they can reach out to Allison or myself, and that they know that they're not alone and we're here to talk.
Yeah.
And Allison's been very open on her Instagram about her body image lately. And I'm so proud of you for that, because it's a really embarrassing yeah. feeling. It's hard. It carries shame. It carries just like, it almost makes you feel like it's gross. Like you're gross for thinking that way, but you're not.
100%.
So we will carry this next week. We love you guys.
Yes. Hold on. I just want to say one last thing. I will say before we go that I just started talking a little bit about mirror work. I'm going to dive into a little bit more about that next week too, because yep. that has been a game changer for me. And that is something that I think everyone will be able to practice if they struggle with something like this. So
tune in.
This has been heavy, but we'll talk more about it next week.
Heavy but good.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Bye, guys. All right, bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.